and welcome to the podcast of Trinity Vineyard Church, Nakuru. You can find our other talks on our archive at trinityvineyard.org. You can also subscribe to our podcast on your other platforms. Here's this week's talk, Baraka.
Okay, good morning again. And yeah, that was such a powerful time of just communing with God and could just feel his presence, so it's really cool. Today we're going to continue our series on devotion. And we've been talking about this key scripture, which is found in Acts 2:42. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to that. We're just going to read it over you. It should be up on the screen. So it says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer." So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So today we're going to look at the prayer part. And I don't know about you, but devotion to prayer can sound like quite a big ask. It can sound like, wow, you know, how can anybody maintain a constant devotion to prayer? It can feel quite hard for some of us. And it's one of those things that I want us to delve into today, because there's some key parts in the Bible, in God's word that he gives us, that may be able to help us to discern how this is possible. And I just want to recap as well that this whole series has been from the day of Pentecost. And Pentecost is just what we call the day when the disciples, when the people that knew Jesus, when Jesus' friends were all together and they were waiting for this promise that he had given them. He had ascended back to heaven. He had died for their sins. He was raised to life with the power of God. And he had said, that power will come and live in you, not around you, in you. And he said that they are to wait in this specific place for this power to come. So they were waiting. Then this amazing power came. We talked about it in that week of Pentecost. And actually, they were all filled, and they were able to speak in different tongues, and there was lots of things going on. So our devotion series has been carrying on from that, has been carrying on from the things that they then devoted themselves to by this power. They couldn't do it alone. It was this power that enabled them to devote themselves to these very things. So I just want to pray as we begin and just invite that very power and that very presence to rest on us. So wherever you are, let's just wait for a minute and just allow the Holy Spirit to just come and rest on us in that same way. And if this is all new to you, you can just chill and relax and don't worry about a thing. Just relax with us. Yeah. Yeah, so Holy Spirit, we invite you again and again and again this morning to come. We want more of you. And we thank you for what you did in the days of the early church. We thank you for what you did on that day of Pentecost. And we pray for more of that. Jesus, give us ears to hear and eyes to see what you're doing today. We welcome your kingdom. Yeah. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I want to tell a story about my grandparents. So my granny and granddad, they both went to be with Jesus last year. But my granddad had a very interesting prayer life. He had a prayer life that I've never really seen, to be honest. And it was something very significant in our family that we noticed about him. But the reason I want to share this story is because he wasn't always like that. So when he was growing up, he would say himself that he was quite a stubborn boy. He would have gotten a lot of trouble at school. He would have sort of just carried on living and doing his thing. He worked on a farm. And they always went to church, but he never really followed Jesus in those days. It was like what Scott was talking about last week. If you caught our interview last week with Scott McNamara, he was saying about, you can believe in God, but it's another thing to follow. You can be believing, but sometimes you don't always follow. So my granddad was like that. He didn't follow, but he believed, and he would go to church. He would call himself a church person. But he never had that kind of deep knowing of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus, of just intimacy with God. Until my granny suddenly found this, sort of in their early 20s, she suddenly found that she was experiencing God, she was experiencing the Holy Spirit, she had an encounter with Jesus that changed her life. And she prayed for my granddad to have that same encounter for about 5 years, I remember her telling me. And in the end, there was like a big sort of open-air crusade, in a way, that they went to. But my granddad didn't go at first. He refused. Every night, my granny would go for 5 nights, and he kept refusing, no, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm not going, I'm staying with the kids, I'm okay the way I am. And then the 5th night, something happened, and he went. And they describe that when he went forward, and he was overpowered by the Holy Spirit. Not in a scary way, in a fulfilling way. And he received Jesus and the Holy Spirit into him, and it changed him. And from that point, he began this radical prayer life that when I knew him, we would stay in their house, we would walk into the kitchen in the morning, and he would be sitting there, and it was as if there was 2 people in the room, but we could only see one. And he was in prayer, and you wouldn't be able to disturb him, he was focused. And we would sit in family gatherings, and we would all be chatting and laughing, and suddenly, tears would start to pour down his face, and he would start praying, thank you, Lord, for this, thank you for what I see here, thank you, and we'd be like, what is this, you know? And it was this radical prayer life that somebody who didn't even want to be involved with God in that way, somehow the Holy Spirit changed him. And the Holy Spirit not just changed him, fulfilled him, and suddenly it was all he wanted. Even on his sickbed last year, before he went to be with Jesus, they would say, sometimes my family would say they could hear him saying, praying for joy in Africa, praying for the people in Africa. Why? Because the Holy Spirit had filled him. And even when he was sick, and even when he was barely able to talk or anything, he was praying. And that's the kind of prayer life I want to have. And I'm not there yet, but I really want that. And I want us to delve into that together today to see how can the Holy Spirit filling us cause us to have that kind of prayer life? Because it's possible. He didn't want that, and it came, and then it was all he wanted. So let's just press in and see what the Bible has to say about that. So another guy who this happened to was the Apostle Paul. And apostle just means somebody sent by God. It's just one of those words that we use, but it's just somebody sent by God. And he originally, when the early church started, he was persecuting the church. He was killing Christians. That's how much he was anti all of this. He was like, Jesus didn't die. I don't believe any of this. And suddenly, he had this same kind of encounter, and he was changed. And he became devoted to prayer. So I want us to see this is for everybody. Even if you don't know Jesus, this is for you. This is something you can just listen to and just mull over for however long as you need to. But we're with you and want to walk with you on this journey. So Paul says in Colossians 4, chapter 2, Colossians is just like a place. Colossae was a place, so he was writing this letter to the Colossians. And he writes, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. With an alert mind and a thankful heart. So these were 2 things I was like, okay, maybe there's something in this. You know, as we strive to learn how to devote ourselves to prayer, maybe there's something in this. So an alert mind, alert. If I'm alert, I'm noticing what's happening around me. Sometimes we cannot be alert. Sometimes we can just be focused on what we're doing. Things can be happening. We're not noticing. But when we're alert, we're actually seeing, ah, that's happening over there. So for me, translating alert into a prayer life would be, God, what are you doing here? God, I see that happening. God, how are you moving there? God, is there something you want me to pray for there? If there is, would you show me? That kind of alert mind, that when we have that, we can walk around and we're praying in our day-to-day life. We're watching what God's doing. A thankful heart. We can also be looking at what's happening and going, hey, God, thank you for that. You know, thank you for that tree. Thank you for what you're doing in my life. Thank you for this food that I'm eating. Thank you for these friends I'm with. That can be a form of prayer. We don't have to wait to get to our specified prayer time to thank God and to be alert to what he is doing. But we are weak. As humans, we are weak. As humans, we can find that difficult to continue. Any kind of habit is difficult to get into and to continue. So there's a verse in the Bible that really helps with that. And it really shows us that we're not alone in this and that we have the Holy Spirit. So it's in Romans 8:26. Paul wrote this as well to the Romans. And he writes this. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. Have we ever thought that groaning can be a form of prayer? Especially in these times where probably a lot of us have found ourselves groaning in one way or another. Just going, God, ah. And God knows us so intimately and so deeply, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us so richly that that very ah, can be translated as a prayer right to the throne room of God. I just think that's amazing, that God can know us that deeply, that our very groan can be heard as a form of prayer. And the Holy Spirit is in us, and when we groan, he's groaning with us, and he's translating that as a prayer to the Father and to Jesus. And that just blows my mind. You know, if you're in a family, you know somebody really well, and sometimes you can say to them, how are you? And all they go is, oh. And you know exactly what that means. That's the level of intimacy we have with God, and it's powerful. Another way that the Holy Spirit can pray through us is through the gift of tongues. And I want to demystify that a bit because it's something very simple that all of the church received, and we talked about that in our Pentecost service. But it's something that basically is just you allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through you in whatever language he chooses. And sometimes he chooses a different language because he wants you to be submitted and he just wants to pray freely through you. And it's one of the most powerful things because you're not using your mind. You're just allowing your mouth, you're submitting your mouth to God and saying, I want you to pray through me, God. How can you help me here? And sometimes the Holy Spirit will just come with a tongue. And it's something that I believe when you keep asking for, you will receive. You will receive when you keep asking, saying, God, I'd love that gift. It's not a scary thing. It's something that actually frees you and actually enables the Holy Spirit to pray with you in a powerful way. Another way we can pray is by fasting. We can choose to give up food or give up something for a time. And that's another very powerful way of connecting with God. But all of these things take devotion and take discipline. And really, we need the Holy Spirit. You cannot fast without the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't. It's very, very difficult. But when the Holy Spirit is in you, it becomes freeing. It becomes easy. So in Paul's letter to the Ephesians this time, so he wrote letters to lots of these different churches that were springing up. He was suddenly so passionate about this message of Jesus that he was visiting, he was writing letters, he was checking in on people. And so he writes it to the Ephesians in chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in the Spirit, that's what we just talked about. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, there's the alert word again. And be persistent, be devoted in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That last line really hit me, all believers everywhere. Because I feel like at this time, there's so many believers in so many different parts of the world that are being challenged. There always have been, but it just seems to be more obvious right now. There's all these things on discrimination and race. We need to be praying for them. There's so many different things on just the virus and the way people are handling it and people losing jobs. We are to be praying for believers everywhere, not just believers where we are, not just believers we know, but actually even praying for the persecuted church. That is something that we're called to. And I know I could do better at that. I know probably all of us could just in being devoted to that. But it's something that we are called to. It's something that God says, pray for all believers everywhere in this way. So in the Spirit. So when we're weak, we're saying, God, I can't. Pray through me. He can pray in tongues. You can just lift a groan. You can even just sit in silence and God hears your heart. We're being alert. We're watching the news. And instead of seeing the news and going, oh my goodness, we're saying, God, what are you doing there? Because you're still here. We believe you're still here, so what are you doing? How can we, as your church, pray into that? How can we look after those people? What are you calling me personally to? And we need to be persistent. We need to just be devoted. Persistence, devotion, perseverance, just looking to God and saying, God, how can you keep me at this? How can you, you know, when you wake up and the last thing you feel like is praying, how can you just invite the Holy Spirit into that place? So something I want to help us with, and maybe just a technique that I've learned, is something called like breath prayer, the breath prayer. So I learned this in this booklet called How to Spend Time with Jesus. And this is something that Belfast City Vineyard put together in the UK. And my friend gave it to me when I was there, and he just said, I hope that'll be a blessing to your church. And I found it really helpful. Now, the best part is I don't have to just show you a booklet and put it away, because I have found that Belfast City Vineyard have made this available on their page, on their website. So I'm going to post the link in there right after this talk, and you can find this. And it's just these simple ways how to enrich your relationship with Jesus, how to come to know Jesus better in your day-to-day life, just some simple tools. And something I picked out from it was this breath prayer. And basically, it's as simple as this. It's using your breath, like we use our hands in worship. It's using your breath to train yourself to pray more regularly and more calmly. So it's just as simple as this. It's saying, come, Holy Spirit. So you're just breathing in and breathing out. And you can say anything that you're feeling. It's not some kind of strict, oh, only say this. It's led by the Holy Spirit. But it's a way you can just breathe in and say, Jesus, you're here, and I thank you you're here with me. And it's just using our breath as a way to kind of get us to just align our whole body with what God's doing. Sometimes our breath can be affected by what's happening around us. You know, oh, this is happening, oh, that's happening, oh, if I missed that call, oh. But when we train our breath to say, yeah, and Jesus, you're here, and you're good. That's a very simple way to just start either sitting with God for long periods of time, which we need to do as well. We can't just pray around and never sit down and talk to God and listen to him. We need to be doing both. And listening is something that I've come to learn a lot about in the Vineyard, just listening to God. When people from Vineyard churches started to pray for me, I was surprised that they would then stop. I thought, oh, do I open my eyes? What do I do? But actually, they're listening. And that's a powerful part of prayer as well, is just saying, come, Holy Spirit. And then just waiting and just seeing what we feel, what we sense, because God is natural. He's all around us, and he's supernatural also. And so we can just see a bird, and God can be speaking to us about that bird. We can just feel peace, and that's God. Or we can actually hear him speak sometimes. All of those things are just powerful ways of connecting. So to recap, today we've just gone through these four things that can maybe help us in devoting ourselves to prayer, and I pray that it does that. So the first thing is devotion, persistence in prayer, persevering. Second thing is in the Spirit, so the Holy Spirit helping us in our weakness. The third thing is staying alert, being watchful for what God is doing. The fourth thing being thankful, acknowledging what God has already done. And these things, I just pray that they can really help us in a prayer life of devotion. There was a couple of people that I felt this was significant for, a couple of groups of people. I felt like there are some people that maybe really feel like you used to pray before this season of COVID-19 and the world changing so drastically. You used to be a very fierce prayer. You used to love sitting and just praying to God and praying for things. But this season has kind of caught you out, and you feel like, I don't know what to pray, I don't know what to say, and you know it, but you can't change it. And maybe you watch the news and it affects you, and you feel like, how could I pray into that? It feels like a mountain. But I feel like God's calling you back today to conversation with him. And I felt like Jesus was saying today, there's an open door for conversation that is here for those who want to receive it. And it's here in the Spirit. You don't have to be here. It's here in the Spirit, and you can receive it today where you are. This conversation with Jesus that you've been longing for. I feel like there's another group of people who think, oh, praying, that's not for me. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe just generally you don't feel like you've ever really connected in prayer. And God's calling you today to that. He's calling you, and he wants you to be, the words I'm hearing, he wants you to be effective. He wants you to be effective in that way, that you can see a situation and sit there and just silently pray, and God hears you. So while I welcome the worship team back up, I just want to pray into those things as we close. Yeah, so wherever you are, however you feel comfortable, just join in with just hearing from God and receiving. Just receive. That's all he wants to give you today. It's just that new gift of a conversation. Yeah. Yeah, so Jesus, I just pray for those people, God. We release today power of intercession of prayer over those people who once had it and have maybe just felt lost. Maybe just like you felt like you've just been like so thirsty for it, but you cannot find that water to drink to get back there. Jesus, would you just open these people up to your will again, God? Would you just open them up to what you're doing through prayer, through fasting? I believe some of you fasted so much and you've struggled to find the ability to do that. So Jesus, I just pray that you would release your winds of change, God, like Edgar's been speaking about this week, God, that you would release winds of change, that you would release these winds over these people, that yes, that your hearts would pray and that your hearts would sing, Abba, Father, and you would hear God. You would hear him speak. Come, Lord Jesus. Yeah, also pray for those of you who just feel like prayer is not for me, I don't know how to pray, or you find it difficult. Lord Jesus, would you just release right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, Jesus, release the ability to pray. Release the ability to hear you, God. I pray that tongues would just be loosened right now in your name. I pray that ears would be open to your voice, Lord. I pray that you would just speak, that you would just empower, Lord, that there would be a great, great significance of prayer in these people's lives. Bless them, Jesus. Fill them up, Father. More of you, Holy Spirit. More of you. And anyone else out there that's sick, that just feels faint, that just feels like you need him today, he's here and he's for you and he's with you. And we just release the power of Jesus into your homes, into your hearts, wherever you are. Just come, Lord Jesus. Have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Fall on your people, Jesus. Yeah. Jesus. Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. Yeah. Yes. Never stop. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, that you're working. And thank you that you gave up your body and your very life's blood that we could be made whole. So I just invite you to get your elements ready. We're just going to take communion together. And if you've never done this before, I invite you even now, I feel like God's saying, even now, just go and grab something. Just go and grab something that you can drink, something that you can eat, and just share in this with us. Just share in this. Yeah.